Ed, welcome to Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Roman Oben. And for the next hour, we will take you through a recap of the Giants' 7-9 season. And Roman, indeed it was a season of two seasons.
Yeah, obviously, Paul, you can't say enough about the 0-6 start. They did win 7 out of their last 10, but the team is still 7-9, and there's 12 teams out there getting ready for the playoffs this weekend. Giants are not one of them.
Now, we call this baggy day in the media because it's the day where all the players clean out their lockers and the media gets to talk to the particulars. Tom Coughlin, the players, Jerry Reese, and today Giants co-owner John Mara addressed the media as well.
Well, good afternoon. Obviously, this was a very disappointing season, as disappointing as any in my memory. And nobody's happy being 7-9, least of all me. I never expected 0-6. And, you know, I'm the same person that stood up here in the preseason and said that this was as talented a team as we've had in years. And I thought we had a chance to make a run. And obviously, I was gravely mistaken. There are some improvements that we're going to have to make in the offseason, and we'll start that evaluation process later in the week. But suffice to say, and I know I speak for Steve Tisch, that we were bitterly disappointed with the results this year. I think our fans deserve better, and you know, we vow that we'll do everything that we have to do to improve the team for next season. Just to get to some of the points that I know you're going to raise right away, I expressed to Tom this morning that we do want him back as our head coach. We still have every confidence in him. Beyond that, in terms of his contract and everything else, that's a discussion for a later date. But we do want him back as our coach in 2014. And in terms of other changes that may or may not be made, we're going to have those discussions later in the week. I certainly have my opinions. Jerry has his. I'm sure Tom has his. And we'll have to put all those together and see where we come out. So with that, I'll be happy to take your questions.
John, there's the possible changes. Obviously, his staff is a question. Is that something that you would ever force staff changes, or would you leave that up to Tom?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I mean, I have opinions, and Jerry has opinions. I like to think that at the end of the day, we're all going to be on the same page. So I don't think it would ever come to that.
Would you be willing to come back with the same coaching staff after the season, now in full, intact, with the way that things went this season?
Well, I mean, that's obviously the one of the main topics of discussion that we're going to have at the end of the week. And until we have that, you know, I don't want to comment on it. I mean, certainly there are some changes that need to be made within the entire organization. And whether that ends up being one of them or not, I'd rather wait until we have those discussions first.
John, you mentioned, you know, this is as disappointed as you've ever been, and bitter disappointment. Very often the next thing is to get rid of the coach. But you said that, is not, you know, you don't want to do that. You know, so does this speak more to a personnel issue that in your mind that the team was just not good enough?
I think it's everything. I mean, nobody had a good year, you know, starting with me, you know, talking about what a great roster we had. So, but certainly personnel-wise, you know, I think we obviously overvalued certain people. I think we have not gotten the production that we wanted out of certain draft slots. We had an inordinate number of injuries this year, which, you know, that's no excuse for going 0-6 out of the gate. But let's face it, it did have an effect, particularly, I think, you know, on the offensive side of the ball with the offensive linemen and the running backs. But, you know, we need to do a better job overall. I've read some stories about how, you know, our draft picks haven't measured up. And really, if you look at it and look at each year and compare it with most other teams, you know, I still think we have as good an evaluation system and group of people here as anybody. We have missed on some guys. We've had some bad luck with second and third round picks being hurt. First round picks in the case of Kenny Phillips, who I thought was going to be a Pro Bowl safety for us for years. We have missed on guys, no question about it. There were a few cases where we were we took a chance, knowing that we were taking a chance, thinking that, you know, if we hit on this guy, maybe we'll knock it out of the park. If we miss, we miss. And we missed a few times. But that's going to happen.
John, is this a monster challenge? Is this a big turnaround? Is this a situation where you need wholesale changes, or are you actually looking at this as similar to other years where it's wholesale, you know, smaller change?
I think our offense is broken right now, and we need to fix that. We need to make some improvements on defense, too. But obviously, the offensive side of the ball, we've got to improve there. And we can't go into next season with the same personnel. We got unlucky with my biggest concern coming into the year was would our offensive line stay healthy, because I was concerned about the depth that we had there. And, of course, we get the center and Chris Knee hurt right off the bat, and you know, then the backup center gets hurt, and we just never seem to be able to protect Eli well enough or get a ground game going well enough, and that to me is the number one personnel priority going into the offseason, is we need to improve the offensive line.
John, how much of the offensive problems do you put on Eli?
Well, listen, he did not have a good year. He'd be the first one to tell you that, but he had a lot of company. He had a lot of company there. And I think with Eli, sometimes he tries to do too much. He competes so hard out there, and he has so much confidence in his ability to get the ball into certain areas that unfortunately he makes mistakes sometimes. But I still have every confidence in him. He's still, the face of the franchise, and we need to help him. We need to give him some better tools and do a better job around him next year.
John, you were talking about missing on a couple of draft picks. Do you plan on evaluating the scouting department? Do you think you need any changes there?
I mean, we do that all the time, but I think we have as good a group of scouts as any team in the league. Now, we've taken some calculated risks on players in the past, knowing that they were risks, thinking that maybe we'd hit big, and we didn't. But that's not necessarily a function of the scouts. I mean, that's, as much on me as anything else. I knew what the risks were in certain cases, and we took them, and they didn't work out. But, we've had a lot of guys that have worked out, too, as lower round picks. So you take the good with the bad. But we, to be successful in this league, you have to do a good job in the draft. I mean, especially on those middle round picks. And there's no question that over the last few years, we've missed on a few of them. For whatever reason. I mean, I'm not sure why it took us 3 years to find out that Gerald Jernigan could play. We finally put him in the game, and he starts making plays. So, you have those instances also.
John, a lot of the things that you described, I realize that you're involved, there are more people involved than just Jerry, but they sort of fall under his direction. Has any of the missed draft picks, the overvaluing people, shaking your faith in him, or do you still believe he is the right guy going forward?
No, I firmly believe that he is the right guy going forward. I've spent enough time around him and to know that he is the right guy. I mean, he is not afraid to make tough decisions, and he knows what the risks are, and sometimes you have to take those calculated risks. And he is a very confident guy. Nobody works harder than he does. I still trust his evaluation skills. I like the way he deals with players, very honest and direct with them. He's got a very good relationship with Tom. And I am convinced that he is the right guy to lead us going forward.
John, are you less inclined to take maybe less risks going forward with the draft, given, the success rate you've had?
Possibly, depending. I mean, certainly you want guys coming in that are healthy and that don't have any off-field issues and stuff, but that's not necessarily what you get coming out of the colleges, and sometimes you have to take those risks.
So John Mara understands that first-round picks are first-round picks, and you kind of roll the dice a little bit after that, but the Giants have had a lot of misses, guys like Brewer and Beckham and Austin. It's really kind of annoying when you miss those middle-round guys because you can't get those picks back. You were a number three, Roman.
Yeah, I was a third-round pick, and I ended up starting, 150 games or whatever in the league. But I think you draft a guy late or you take a chance on a guy because he can develop. He can come in a good environment with character, with leadership, with good consistency at the head coaching position, with a good quarterback, and you can bring him through that system. And sometimes that doesn't always work. And I think that's what Mr. Mara was alluding to.
And the big thing is, when you miss because of the salary cap implications. When you sign a draft pick, he's guaranteed that money for the first couple of years. He's almost on scholarship.
Yeah, and don't forget, Giants have always drafted, you know, the bottom of every round. Bottom of the first, bottom of the second. So that's what it's been.
Okay, Roman, when we come back, more specifics from John Mara about what he thought of the 2013 season. Stay with us on MSG. And welcome back to Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. You know, one of the big topics of conversation today is about the future of wide receiver Akiem Nicks. He did not score a touchdown this season, and a lot of people are down on him. Let's see what John Mara has to say.
Akiem Nicks was a guy who was a first-round pick for you and has been productive at a high level. Are you surprised, disappointed with what you saw from him this year?
Well, I mean, he did not have his best year, but he played hurt all year also. And we had so many issues on offense, it's hard to just pin anything on him. It was not his best year, but, you know, he competed hard. And, I mean, it's shocking to me he didn't get into the end zone this year, but he still was out there trying to make plays. And, again, we had a lot of problems on offense.
You mentioned the Jernigan thing, I mean, taking so long to figure out he can play. What is that a function of? I mean, I guess, where does that responsibility come?
I mean, sometimes you have to put younger players in the game and give them a chance to fail, you know, or succeed. And, you know, I mean, it's true not only of him but other guys, too. It would have been nice if he had gotten in a little bit earlier. But, you know, that's not my decision.
We had asked you last year about extending Eli's contract. You said it wasn't the time. Is it now the time, do you need to do that in order to create enough cap room to do what you want?
I don't think we need to do it. It's certainly something we're going to talk about, though. It, you know, depends on how aggressive we want to be in free agency. And, you know, we've never been – I mean, there have been certain years where we have been, but that as a long-term solution is not a good idea, being too aggressive in free agency. We're going to talk about that, though. That's obviously one of the major decisions we have to make this year.
John, you said as far as extending Tom, that'll come at a later date, but would you anticipate keeping with the organizational philosophy that you don't let the coach go into the last year of the contract?
Yeah, again, that's a discussion for a later date. That has been our philosophy in the past. There's no secret about that. Whether it continues or not is yet to be decided.
When you talked about your disappointment, was that based solely on these past 16 games, or does the not making the playoffs in four of the last 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, the second half of 2012 and this season, it has not been a good season and a half for us. And, you know, I'm not very happy about it, and they know I'm not very happy about it, but neither is anybody else. I mean, Tom's not happy about it. Jerry isn't either, but, I was less upset that we won 7 of our last 10 games, but we're still 7-9, and 7-9 isn't very good.
John, a bunch of coaching changes today, firings, and Mike Sullivan is now available. Is he a guy that, you know, he worked well with Eli, won the championship with him. Is he a guy that you would consider bringing back?
Well, that's a topic of discussion with Tom and Jerry. We obviously think very highly of him, but that has yet to be discussed.
John, you said the fans deserve better. Is that solely based on one loss record, or is it style of play? Is it sloppiness? Is it a multiple?
All the above. All the above. I mean, it kills me to, you know, go into these other stadiums and you see these large collections of Giant fans that are there, and that's their one time to see us all year or maybe in several years, and they come out there and they're supporting us, and you know, we put on performances like we did in Kansas City, in Carolina, in San Diego. It's painful to watch that. And, you know, we had some performances at home that weren't very good either. And that's, you know, the especially when you look at our division, I mean, there was no reason why we couldn't have won the division this year if we just come out of the gate something other than 0-6. you know, just make a couple of plays in those games.
You know, you very it hit you hard with the home games also, and you know, obviously it was a rainy day yesterday and everything, but that whole experience yesterday, even though you won, was that very difficult to watch with the building empty and the
seeing all the empty seats? Yeah, I do say this though. I think that was more a function of the weather. I mean, let's face it, that was a miserable day to sit out there. I was quite frankly surprised that there that many people there, because that was pretty miserable. But you know, I'm very cognizant of that. You know, I notice empty seats and everything. And there were some other games there where we had good weather days where there were some empty seats. And obviously the fans are not very happy with us. And I hear it from them, believe me, usually in letter form. And they range from, you know, you got to clean house to you got to get rid of the quarterback or you got to get rid of yourself, you know, whatever. That they span. They span the globe on that.
Is your job safe, just to be clear?
Well, not according to my mother, it's not. So, yeah, right. She'll be up here next, by the way. Yeah.
John, what is your message back to them, the fans?
You know, you'd like to think that after a certain period of time, you've earned a little bit of credit that we're going to do whatever we have to do to build this team back to where we think it can be, and that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to make the moves that they want us to make, but nobody wants to win more than Tom Coughlin or Jerry Reese, except maybe myself. And I mean, this is a lifelong thing with me, and we're going to do what we have to do, but we're going to do it in an intelligent fashion. We're not going to make these sweeping changes. I mean, stability is important. It's one of the reasons we've had some success here. But there are times when changes have to be made, and we're, you know, if we agree on those changes, then we'll make them going forward. But you know, I mean, we'll do whatever we have to do to improve this team and put a team on the field next year that our fans can be proud of.
John, when you talk to Tom about, you know, his staff and everything else, at any point do you address with him when he wants to retire? Do you need an exit strategy and a succession plan at some point?
Yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, I'll probably have that discussion with him, but I'm not sure what value there is there. You know, I'm not sure he knows yet how much longer he wants to coach. I haven't had that discussion with him. And guys could tell you that this is their last year or whatever and then change their mind at the end of the year. So it's very tough to have an exit strategy in the National Football League.
John, how tough was it for you to remain quiet this year because you have not...
Well, those of you that were with me in the press box would tell you that I wasn't very quiet during the year. It's tough. Those first six games, I mean, nobody took those harder than me, and it was tough to sit there and watch that. It really was. But, you know, the one thing I will say, there was one positive out of this season. I've been around a lot of teams, both winning and losing in my lifetime, and at least the locker room held together. There wasn't any finger-pointing. There wasn't any mutiny down there, and I've seen a lot of that over the years, and I think that's a credit to the way the coach and some of our captains kind of held it together.
John, some of the players were talking about cleaning out their lockers and the feeling that another team was going to come here and use this facility. You've known it's coming with the Super Bowl. Do you have a different feeling now that another team is going to be coming here?
Yeah, you know, I haven't had enough time to think about that yet, Art. I think when it happens, I'll probably feel it, depending on who it is. it probably will affect me when it does happen, yeah.
And so no team has ever hosted a Super Bowl. That trend continues this year. Now, Roman, we've heard John Mara talk about Jerry Reese as his general manager. Tom Coughlin is his head coach. But we also heard him say the offense is broken. The offensive line was a huge concern. Where do you start to fix it?
Well, I think you start with having a $100 million quarterback who wasn't standing upright all year long, didn't have the protection, didn't have a solid running game. Injuries had a lot to do with that. And you had some inconsistencies in the perimeter with Hakeem Nicks, the kind of season he had, playing through injuries. So the offense was broken, but it was broken for many different reasons. And I think they're going to meet and try to adjust make some of these adjustments to ensure that doesn't happen next season.
Quickly, Roman, can you bring in a bunch of new players through the draft, rookies, to quickly turn this thing around offensively, or do you have to go out and get veteran free agents?
Well, I think, number one, you've got to believe in the philosophy that you do, and I think the Giants have done a good job of that, and they'll continue that. So no landslide, no big major changes.
All right, Roman, thanks as always. Stick around, because when we come back, we'll hear from Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and some of the Giants players. So stay with us. And welcome back to Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. We told you that both Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin also spoke to the media today. Tom Coughlin also had a team meeting with his players. Let's get a listen to the coach.
Good afternoon. We had our traditional exit meetings this morning, and I met with the team, and I used the Nelson Mandela quote, "Don't judge me by my successes, but rather by how many times I fell and got back up again." And that's what I felt about this team. I was proud of this team and the way they finished the season with the 7-3 record in the final 10 games, but more proud of them for their character, for their strength, the way they bonded together as a team, the way they came together in the face of adversity and continued to get up when they were knocked down. They were knocked down a number of times this season, obviously. But I was, again, I think this is a very strong group, a group that I was very proud of, very proud to be associated with. We didn't accomplish what we set out to accomplish. We set out to be world champions, just like anybody else in the 32 teams in the NFL. We didn't achieve that, but we didn't stop fighting. And so I left them with that message. My response to a question that was raised last night, I do want to coach. We do have meetings scheduled throughout this week, perhaps next week, with ownership and management, and we'll try to evaluate everything at that point in time. I'm sure there'll be many, many questions asked about going forward, and so we'll talk our way through some of those questions, I'm sure, at another point in time. But I do want to coach, and so with that, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them. You're going to hear from those people, from John Mara, from Jerry Reese a little bit later, and they'll fill you in on that response. But again, I do want to coach.
On your end, was it something you had to consider, or was it always just a no-brainer at this point for you?
Well, on my end, I've always been a coach. My feelings are exactly the same as they always have been. Competitive by nature. Want to be the best that I can be, and the people that surround me, I want them to be the very best that they can be. So the issue with asking me questions of this nature and with my response this year to people that tried to ask me these questions is I don't want it about me. I don't think it is about me, and I don't want to take anything away from our team and what we're trying to accomplish by answering questions about myself and my future. Now, you say to me, okay, the season's over. Well, last night it wasn't over for me. I hadn't even completed my press conference post-game. Today, there's a little bit more reflection time, but it's been another one of those busy days. I mean, you get here at 5 o'clock in the morning, you grade the all three tapes. You have a coach's meeting. You have a player's meeting. There's not a lot of time for anything else. Now, over the course of the next few days, there will be. But from my standpoint, as I look at a 16-game season and hopefully a postseason, I've always had the energy and the drive and the determination, and my answer has always been to those who have asked You know, I got into this thing a little bit later than most. I became a head coach. I was a head coach at Division III when I was very young. And then at age 45, I got another opportunity to be a head coach in college. So I'm just a young guy in this business. And everybody wants to know what's next for me. I hope it's coaching the New York Giants. But I don't spend a lot of time thinking about me and my circumstance and my situation. It's rather our team and where we're going, what direction we're in. I have great confidence in this group of men that we've had here as a coaching staff, and I believe in them very strongly.
And so now it's time for our GEICO 15-second recap. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit GEICO.com. And the recap, Roman, has to do with Tom Coughlin and his staff. We know that Tom has the energy to come back, and it's obvious John Mara wants him back as well. But in terms of his staff, Tom loves to stick with guys who came up through the ranks with him, guys like Gilbride and Fuel. They were part of his staff in Jacksonville way back when with the Jaguars. Ingram's another one. He's going to show them a lot of loyalty when they start answering questions in the next week.
Yeah, and that's because as a head coach, you want to have guys that you can trust working with you. And, you know, sink or swim, you know, Super Bowl or not, you trust the guys because you can fight together. But this is a business that fans demand loyalty and fans demand transparency. I mean, there's six jobs right now open the NFL the Monday after the last regular season game. So they want to know what's up with Gilbride today. What's up with whoever, this position coach, that position coach, scouting. I mean, they want to know answers right now. And I think it's good for them to say, look, we have to have our meetings with Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, Mr. Tisch, Mr. Mara, and make that decision based on what's philosophy going forward. And I think that's what they're going to do this week.
So, again, these high-powered meetings will not occur until after the January 1st holiday. In the meantime, regardless of what goes on in that meeting, you know that Tom Coughlin will express his disappointment in what happened this season.
The unfinished business. But you know what? When you put me in this position, I don't have any choice but to say, how long ago was 2011? Did the Ravens make the playoffs this year? This is not an easy business. These people who are constantly trying to build and develop their teams, they're out there. They're very competitive, too. Our league is a league of parity by choice, by design. And it's a good thing. It's very, very competitive. Not that long ago, we were in the winner's circle. It hasn't happened for us for a couple of years. Do we have unfinished business? Yeah, we have a lot of unfinished business. We'd like to get to the winner's circle again. That's what this thing is all about. Am I disappointed? You bet I'm disappointed. Do I do a good job of masking it? Yeah, as best I can. Do I take a position with my team of building and encouraging and inspiring rather than the other way around? Yeah. 20 years ago, would I have? I doubt it. I doubt it. But you don't conquer by dividing. You conquer by inspiring and building and being one. This is a game of a lot of numbers. You need everybody on the same page.
Do you think this can be turned around quickly, Coach?
Well, I look at different situations throughout the league, okay? Teams that have turned it around, one or two players here, one or two players there. I think it can be, but it would have to be the kind of season that all of us want, you know, where maybe we just, the same guys that start at the beginning of the year are there at the end of the year, which didn't happen this year, as you well know. But it's not about that either. Don't ask me about injuries or any of that stuff. That's not an excuse. I'm just telling you, these are facts.
And another fact that's indisputable is that Eli Manning threw a career-high 27 interceptions this season, Roman. Again, a variety of reasons why. I like to call it collateral damage between the running backs, the receivers, and the O-line.
Well, when you chart the interceptions that Eli Manning threw, there's two big discrepancies. One, I think 12 of them were thrown on first down. You know, play action pass, going big right away. 12 of them were thrown in the fourth quarter, trying to make the big play to win at the end of the game. You go back to that Chicago game. You go back to a lot of these games. A lot of interceptions were, you know, off of screen passes, pass deflections, a receiver not fighting for the ball. And you can put an asterisk probably around half of the interceptions, even, you know, tip balls, Hail Marys, what have you. But when you're not protected as a quarterback and you're uncomfortable in the pocket and you're constantly having to pick yourself off the ground or having an O-lineman reach a hand out to pick you off the ground, that's not what you want for your quarterback, whether it's Eli Manning or anybody in the National Football League. So that has to be fixed.
Well, Roman, the Giants allowed 40 sacks this season. They had seven different starting offensive line combinations. Those are not good numbers no matter how you cut it. When we come back, GM Jerry Reese takes to the podium. So stick around. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. Giants General Manager Jerry Reese has two championship rings on his fingers, but doesn't have a playoff spot this year. He shared some of his thoughts with the media earlier today.
You know, you can start with me. I'll start with myself. You know, personnel issues. When you're 7-9, there's obviously some personnel issues, and I think there's. Everybody can do their job. You know, at midseason, I, you know, had this pressure. I said everybody can do their job better, you know, and I started with myself, and I'll start with myself now. We got to have better personnel. We got to have better execution by our players. A quarterback has to play better. We got to have better coaching. So we own it. We win together. We lose together. We'll start the evaluation process pretty quickly here, and we'll get to going with our off-season issues. We have 23 unrestricted free agents, and I think there's four or five restricted free agents. So we have some work to do, but, you know, there's work to do after every season. You know, we win Super Bowl, and there's a lot of work to do. So we're not afraid of the work. We'll put our heads together. There's a lot of meetings we'll have to be in the next few days and iron out a few things that we need to get ironed out, and we'll make some decisions, and we'll learn and grow from this experience.
Okay, so let's do the math, Roman. Jerry Reese with two Super Bowl rings, but at the same time, the Giants not making the playoffs once again this year, and that is not a good thing.
Yeah, and Paul, you can't change history, right? The two Super Bowl runs were phenomenal, but at the same time, the Giants haven't consistently put on a good product that's 11, 10 wins, 12 wins every year, winning the division, I mean, like some other teams. I mean, this isn't the toughest division in the league. It's a physical division. It's a tough division, but it's not amongst the toughest. So I think Jerry Reese's comments really prove to me that they want the Giants to be a lot more competitive year in and year out, and that's something they haven't done, specifically not making the playoffs 4 out of 5 years.
Now, one of the guys who was supposed to be the answer to get the Giants back to the postseason was first-round draft pick from last year, running back David Wilson. He's come down with stenosis of the neck. Although Jerry Reese says the prospects of him coming back are maybe a little bit better than some people thought.
Yeah, David, you know, as he's, you know, those neck things, you have to wait around and see if, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to stand up here and sound like I'm, you know, talking to some doctor mumbo jumbo to you. But, you know, those discs that happen, you know, they have, sometimes they can shrink, and, you know, it only takes, you know, it takes time for them to shrink. So, they did that, and so we're waiting to the beginning of the new year and then have another a consultation with our Dr. Kamisa, I believe it is, to see if there's, you know, surgery to be a possibility for him, and that could be a possibility. And if he has a surgery, I think the prognosis is that he'll be ready to play next fall if he has a surgery.
So Jerry Reese doesn't know for sure what's going to happen with David Wilson. He's got Andre Brown as a free agent coming up now tomorrow. And he's also got Brandon Jacobs coming off of cartilage replacement surgery. And there's a good chance that Brandon may retire. This backfield is very thin.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about David Wilson, obviously the neck injury, that's a very sensitive issue. And the verdict is still out whether or not David Wilson will even play again or be back to 100%. I mean, Jerry Reese gives some optimism, but I think in the first 2 years, we never really got a chance to see Dave Wilson just come out the gate. He wasn't a 1,200-yard rusher, you know, a la, you know, Doug Martin or whoever coming out in his draft class. We saw some spurts, rookie year, New Orleans game. We saw him, you know, trying to run better this year, trying to protect the football. But, you know, he never really got it to his potential. And now that you have a neck issue, and then now you got Andre Brown, who he ran hard. He came back. He gave this offense a jolt.
But durability is an issue for him, too.
Exactly. And then Andre Brown started fumbling the last couple of games, and that was very upsetting for the coaching staff. So he may not be the long-term answer as well. You might see a totally different backfield next year.
Well, whoever's running the ball for the Giants in 2014, they're going to be running behind what we think will be a rebuilt offensive line. Now, Will Beatty fractured his leg in the season finale yesterday against Washington, but Jerry Reese says it looks like he's going to be able to come back.
From early reviews, we think Will will be back. We think he'll be back, and hopefully he will be back, and he can get going. And he needs to have a good offseason as well. You know, he's he didn't play as well as we had hoped he'd play, and I think he had owned that as well. So hopefully he can get back and get healthy and get going and have a great offseason and be a good left tackle for us.
So Will Beatty, who, by the way, had a subpar season. I mean, he allowed double digits in sacks, Roman. This is a guy who the Giants paid a lot of money to before this year to man that left tackle spot.
Yeah, when you're the left tackle in the National Football League, especially you've got the responsibility of protecting a guy like Eli Manning, you've got to be at your best every Sunday. And Will Beatty, you know, was not at his best. He gave us some pressures, hurried throws, sacks. You know, obviously he had a bunch of different left guards playing there next to him, so maybe sometimes the communication was a little bit off at times. But just quite simply, when it was one-on-one, he didn't win a lot of his matchups, and that's something that's going to have to improve. And because he'll be rehabbing, he's going to have a lot of time to think about his course of action to improve next season.
Now, we know that Deal was hurt, Snead was hurt, Boss was hurt. Some of the young backup offensive linemen like Cordell and Brewer were hurt. How many new offensive linemen do the Giants need to bring in?
I think they definitely need three because you may have a season next year where the only returning starters that end of the season are the two tackles in Beatty and Pugh. So whether it's two draft picks and a veteran, you know, signee, maybe not a high-priced veteran, but someone who's, you know, could come in and start, or two veterans and maybe another draft because, you know, they may not be as happy with development of some of the younger guys who had to play early.
Well, Roman, anytime you have a season like the Giants have had, there is a lot to dissect. When we come back here on MSG, we'll talk more about the Giants' passing game. So stay with us. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. We told you earlier the Giants have about two dozen free agents on this team. Well, about half of them happen to be on offense. And really, that list starts with Akeem Nicks, Roman, who has had a real mixed bag over the course of his five-year career.
Yeah, as Mr. Mara alluded to earlier, just the fact that he didn't even get in the end zone this year was a little bit upsetting. You know, he played through some injuries, but he's going to have a chance to prove whether he wants to come back and prove he can be better next year, or if he goes on the greener pastures, if you will, on another team.
Yeah, Akeem Nicks with two 1,000-yard seasons during his five-year career. Didn't quite get it this year, about 900, and says he still thinks he's got a lot left in his tank.
man, I think I just take everything in stride, learn from it, and I still know what I'm capable of doing. I still consider myself one of the top receivers in this league. I'm going to go out and prove it. And I just want to continue to have fun with this game, man, and continue to play. I've been playing for a long time.
Now, it's great that Nix is confident, but the danger when a player expresses a lot of confidence like that is that he's going to overvalue his next contract. And that's going to be an issue for the Giants, who probably won't want to pay him huge money coming off of two subpar seasons.
Yeah, when you look at the mind, and I've been a free agent, Paul, and it's been, you know, your agent looks at your potential, what you could do the next couple of years, and the team looks at the season you just had, and now there has to be some type of equilibrium about that. And Hakeem Nicks still does some good things. He's got those big hands. He's a good physical receiver, good size. He catches all those jump balls. I mean, we've seen some of these Hail Marys that he's caught, you know, historically over the last couple of years. So, and when he's healthy, when he's 100%, he's a legitimate number one receiver. But the drops, Paul, the inconsistency, not being on the same page with Eli Manning, you know, some of the things that it just makes you scratch your head about, why isn't he where you expect him to be? And that's some of the things that the Giants are going to have to address in the offseason.
Now, at least the Giants know that Victor Cruz is going to be ready for OTAs. Remember, he just had knee surgery the other day after he was hurt a couple of weeks ago. But all systems look good for Cruz to come back and have another terrific season. But that opens things up now. What about Randall and Jernigan? Randall with 6 touchdown catches this year, and Jernigan, who had a real good home stretch in the final 3 games of the season.
Yeah, and those guys came in and played well. But, you know, Jernigan said this actually postgame. He's been behind Cruz for so long that you almost have to feed Cruz all the time, and he's kind of been sitting and waiting. And now that, you know, when you kept feeding Jernigan all these balls and come across the middle, I mean, he showed that at least he can be the guy that you could count on. Now, who these guys are when they don't have a football in their hand, you know, blocking, running the routes, you know, being decoys, you know, doing the other things to be complete receivers, you know, that puts the question mark, why aren't these guys more productive? Playing a guy out of necessity versus starting a season, trusting a guy can get it done for you is two different things, Paul, so... But you do have some options, and these two guys have shown you that they can get the job done when relied upon.
All right, now here's another interesting question, Roman. What do you do with the tight end spot? Brandon Myers came over from Oakland with high expectations, and I think he probably did not produce the numbers that some people wanted.
Yeah, and I think Brandon Myers, look, the last couple of games, he really played hard, you know, last few weeks of the season. But, you know, you got to go back to that Denver game, you know, stumbling and falling, you know, the Chicago Bears, the interception. That was overthrown a little bit. You know, could a 6'6 guy have caught that ball, or was it? I mean, all those things. You know, Brandon Myers came here to prove that he wasn't just a one-year guy. Unfortunately, the Giants have had to throw to a different tight end literally every single season. Martellus Bennett, Ballard, I mean, everybody.
Sure.
Everyone. But you've got to do everything. You've got to be a blocker. You've got to catch the ball. You've got to be relied upon in both of those things. That's what really makes a complete tight end.
47 grabs and 4 touchdowns for Myers. Now, what about veteran kicker Josh Brown? Came in on a 1-year veteran minimum contract, wound up 23 out of 26 on field goals.
Yeah, Josh Brown, he probably is the highest graded player on the offensive side of the ball. If you add kicking in that on offense. So he did what he was supposed to do this year. The Detroit game spoke volumes about his contribution to this season. And you hope for better things that and better this season.
Okay, Roman, when we come back from this break, we will talk about the brightest spot of the Giants season. Yeah, you guessed it, folks, the big blue defense. More if you stick around here on MSG. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. You know, folks, we all know that the Giants defense was their biggest bright spot of the season. And safety Antrell Roll said he was very proud at how this team's defense got better as the season went on.
I'm a defensive player, and, you know, I speak only and entirely for the defense. And are there any changes need to be made on that side? Absolutely not. I think we've shown that. And, you know, starting one point in time in the season as a 28th, 29th ranked defense and to end the season at 8, I think that speaks volume for us. So.
And, you know, over the last month and a half of the season, the Giants had about 20 sacks. They started taking the ball away once again. And all year long, they were real good against the run, gave up less than 4 yards a carry, and only two 100-yard rushers.
Yeah, and all the things well that the defense did. I mean, look at what Justin Tuck did towards the end of the season as well. They gave up 63 points, Paul, without even being on the field. Pick sixes, all those things. But what defense did, you know, Antrell Roll, he was great in the box. He was great as a leader. He was great, you know, had the interceptions, fumble recoveries. I mean, these guys were just swarming left and right. You get bees in the middle of the season. You know, what if that guy was here all year long? So, I mean, when this thing got turned around middle of the season, you know, won the four games straight, it was defense that led the charge against those quarterbacks, putting the offense in a position to win the game. So I think Antrell Roll is right. Defense did carry the load, if you will, this season.
And just when some people thought you may be seeing the decline of Justin Tuck, he had a career-high 4 sacks about a month ago in Washington. His contract is up, but he says he wants to remain part of Big Blue's D.
I think I would love to retire as a Giant. You know, everyone knows how great this place is and how great it is to play for this organization, these fans, this city, this region. And, you know, that's the ideal. But again, you know, I understand that, you know, football is a business, and just like the Giants are going to approach this whole situation and do what's best for the team, you know, I got to do the same thing for, you know, myself.
So Justin Tuck completes his 9th NFL season, had 11 sacks this year, the third highest total of his career. And, you know, it sounds like he wants the numbers to work out for him.
Well, and you hope that they will. And let's, besides just the sacks he had in his last quarter of the season, Justin Tuck led the defensive line in tackles for losses, tackles behind the line of scrimmage. That's something that people don't talk about enough. The Washington game was tremendous, obviously. 4 sacks against RG3. I mean, that's the game that really woke him up. And when you smell that quarterback, I mean, he became a hunter at the last quarter of the season. And that's what you appreciate out of him. He had the leadership. He's got the 2 rings. But as a defensive lineman, he started to really, really produce. Gave you double digit sacks, gave you tackles for losses, and Justin Tuck's put himself in a position to make it hard for the Giants to not just throw a number at him and say, you got to take that because you haven't played well. This isn't the 2011 or 2012 season. This is a season where Justin Tuck played as well as any defensive lineman in the National Football League.
And, you know, to be fair, the defense struggled a little bit in the first month or so until the trade for John Beeson, and GM Jerry Reese is sure glad he was able to pry him away from Carolina.
Well, it's part of the evaluation process. John came in, and I think he stabilized our defense some. You know, he came in, he had a voice right away, and he fit in really quickly with the players, and he did a good job for us. So, you know, we think it was a good trade at the time, and we still think it was a good trade. So we'll evaluate John as we move into the offseason, and we'll see where that goes.
And when Jerry Reese says it's part of the evaluation process, well, once again, we're talking about years and money for contract purposes because Beeson is a free agent himself.
Yeah, John Beeson, another guy who really helped himself with his play this year. I mean, what happens if John Beeson doesn't get the Giants don't get him in the middle of the season? Record might be worse than it is. But
he had 93 tackles in 12 games with the Giants.
Yeah, and that is tremendous. And what he did sideline to sideline, making plays, look at that first Chicago Bears game. The leadership, you know, he was mic'd up a couple of games and just being vocal on the sidelines. I mean, he really made the other linebackers around him better. I think Jaquan Williams, Paysinger, and Keith Rivers benefited equally as well from Beeson being in that meeting room.
There's certainly a lot of value there in John Beeson. Now, there's also value at the defensive tackle spot in another free agent, Linval Joseph, who has been terrific all season long. But again, how much money is it going to take to keep him?
Well, look at earlier this year, I think it was Pro Football Focus, they did a grading scale that, you know, Linval Joseph, only behind, you know, Ndamukong Suh, has made some real impact plays behind the line of scrimmage. You know, sacks, stops for losses. That production of the defensive tackle position from a fan standpoint is something that's always overlooked. You don't know the value of having a solid guy in those A-gaps on the defensive line. We talk about all those running backs that got stuff. It started with the play of Linval Joseph this season, 100%, Paul.
He had 59 tackles and 3 sacks. And you know what's strange about this? The Giants defense performed good enough to rank 8th in the NFL this year, and they did it without much production from JPP, coming off of the back surgery and then a bad shoulder. But he says he's ready to show his true colors again next season.
I know what I bring to the table. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's been a very tough season for me. But I got to look past that, you know. It's just one of those seasons, man. You know, I've been injured, fight injuries all through the season. But, you know, I'm not mad at it. You know, this is football. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, guys got injured yesterday. You didn't know they was going to get injured yesterday. But it is what it is. Like, only thing I can do now is you know, learn from it, get back healthy, and then let's get out there next year.
Now, JPP says his strained shoulder is going to need another month or so before they decide whether or not he should have surgery. And after having back surgery last year, Roman, I don't blame him if he doesn't want to undergo the knife again.
Well, I think as a former player, Paul, I think JPP needs to kind of decide now what kind of career he wants to have. He can be the disruptive guy that he was two seasons ago. He can get to the quarterback, get to the line of scrimmage, make plays behind the line. He can be a leadership by example guy to DeMontre Moore and some of these other guys coming up behind him because there's a lineage there. So I think JPP now has to be a professional. You're not 100% from the time the season starts. Shoulders, back, knees, whatever it is, you've got to decide how much you're going to let that affect you or not affect you. Obviously, medical staff has to do their job, make sure he's ready to play. But when he does come back, he's got to come back and be a force again, as he once was for this defensive unit.
Now, Roman, let's spend a second on the secondary because Corey Webster's Giants career looks to be over. He's a free agent. I don't know if he's going to be coming back. Guys like Prince Amukamara and Will Hill stepped up. They were terrific. But what about a guy who flew under the radar like Trumaine McBride?
Yeah, Trumaine McBride again, another guy. I mean, there's some dishes that need to be made there. They are going to probably booster the secondary a little bit, make some additions, maybe draft, maybe a free agent guy. But definitely some guys need to be added to that group.
Folks, we appreciate all of your loyalty this year, sticking with us for Giants Press Conference Live. For Roman Obin, I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you again next season. Happy New Year, everybody.